Today's shiur is called the 1982 Siege of Lebanon. Israel right now is laying siege on Gaza Strip, to some extent. And even though this situation, what's going on now, is different than the 1982 siege in Lebanon, it's helpful to sort of understand a Torah perspective on sieges. We're going to begin with the Psukim, what Chazal have to say, what some Rishonim have to say, and a major debate among top-tier Israeli poskim in the 1982 siege in Lebanon. As background, the PLO was created on May 28, 1964, during the first Arab League summit in Cairo. After Israel's establishment in 1948, many Palestinian refugees lived in neighboring Arab countries. The Arab states wanted a body that could represent the Palestinians but also remain under their influence. Now, the Arab League, is led especially by Egypt's President Gamal Abdel Nasser, sponsored the creation of the PLO. Its founding charter called for the liberation of Palestine through armed struggle. Initially, it was tightly controlled by Arab governments. After this 1967 Six-Day War, Palestinian guerrilla groups gained influence. In 1969, Arafat became chairman of the PLO, and it grew into an umbrella organization for multiple Palestinian factions recognized internationally as the representative of the Palestinian people. After the Six-Day War, a huge number of Palestinian refugees settled in Jordan, and the PLO used Jordan as its main base of operations. By the late 1960s, the PLO operated almost as a state within a state inside Jordan, setting up checkpoints, collecting taxes, and launching attacks on Israel from Jordanian territory. And this challenged the authority of King Hussein of Jordan. In September of 1970, after repeated clashes between Jordanian forces and Palestinian guerrillas, the Jordanian army moved decisively against the PLO. A civil war erupted, and the PLO was decisively defeated. By July 1971, King Hussein expelled the PLO and its guerrilla fighters from Jordan. The PLO relocated its headquarters to Lebanon, and from there, the PLO launched rocket attacks, infiltration, and raids into northern Israel. Israel responded with airstrikes and cross-border operations, creating a cycle of violence. In 1978, Israel had already invaded southern Lebanon in the Litani operation to push PLO forces away, but they later returned. On June 3rd of 1982, members of the Abu Nidal organization, a Palestinian splinter group opposed to the PLO, attempted to assassinate Shlomo Argov, Israel's ambassador to the UK in London. Although the attack was not carried out by the PLO, Israel blamed the PLO, seeing it as part of the ongoing terror campaign from Lebanon. Israel bombed PLO targets in Lebanon in retaliation. The PLO responded with rocket fire into northern Israel. On June 6, 1982, Israel launched a full-scale invasion called Operation Peace for Galilee. Israel's official goals were to push PLO forces back 40 kilometers north of the border so that northern Israel would be out of rocket range, and to protect Israel's northern communities and to create conditions for peace with Lebanon. Now, Israel quickly advanced past the 40 kilometer line, besieging Beirut with the goal of expelling the PLO entirely from Lebanon. After months of fighting and heavy civilian casualties, the PLO evacuated Beirut under international supervision in August of 1982. And Israel remained in southern Lebanon for years afterwards, eventually creating the security zone that lasted until the year 2000. So let's talk a bit about the siege. On July 1, 1982, IDF forces lay siege to Beirut. So again, the goal on July 1, 1982, IDF forces lay siege to Beirut to eradicate the PLO from its headquarters in Lebanon's capital city. A few days later, it cut off water and electricity to the city and restored the supply after 2 days following heavy American pressure. The 2 month siege cost the lives of 1,000 PLO fighters and 88 Israeli soldiers. It's hard to know how many non-combatants were killed. Some reliable estimates say 5,000 non-combatants were killed, with another 20 to 30,000 wounded. PLO places artillery in apartment courtyards and its anti-aircraft guns alongside foreign embassies. However, Israel was condemned for the killings. During the Beirut bombardment, Rabbi Goren declared that Jewish law requires Israel to allow both combatants and non-combatants to flee a besieged city. So if you look in the Torah, in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, the Torah tells us that when the Bnei Yisrael fought against Midian, the Torah used this interesting language of Vayitzbe'u al Midian. They took the field against Midian. And the Sifrei cites the first opinion, Hikifua me'arba ruchosel. They surrounded Midian, they lay siege from all four sides. Rabbi Nasan Omer, Nasan Lahem Ruach Ravish, they sheyivrechu. So he interprets this pasuk, this word Vayitzbe'u, is that he allowed them. They allowed them one side so that the Midianim can flee. It may be this is similar, this opportunity for them to flee may be similar. There's a Yerushalmi that says that in Masechet Shviz, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, that says that before Yeshua entered, conquered Eretz Yisrael, he sent a message to all those who living in Eretz Yisrael, that Mishu Rotza Lahafno Shifon, if someone wants to evacuate, they can evacuate. Lahashim Yashim, if someone wants to make peace, they should make peace. And Lasim Macham Yasef, if someone wants to wage war, they should feel free to wage war. Here also, Yeshua gives the opportunity for individuals to flee. So there's a debate between the Rambam, seemingly, and the Ramban, seemingly. Because the Rambam, when he quotes this halach of the Sifri, in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, he writes, "Kishetzaron al ir latofsa." When they lay siege on a city in order to conquer it, "Ein makif hilchos me'arba ruchosel me'shal shvuchosel." You should only surround it from three sides. "Umenichem malchum levarech lachol mishi yirtzel limalei l'nafsho." You should allow the opportunity for people to flee. And he cites the pasuk in Bamidbar Labadal pasuk Zayin. The challenge, the problem with the Rambam, is that the Rambam also has a book of mitzvos. And if indeed this is a mitzvah, that you, when you lay siege, you have to leave one side open, you would have expected that the Rambam would include it in its minyan of mitzvos, since one of the mitzvos. However, he does not. And the Ramban, on his hasagos to the Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam, where he lists the mitzvos that Rambam omitted or that he ignored, that according to the Ramban, he forgot that he did not include. One of them is the mitzvah of leaving a side open. So the Ramban believes that the Rambam doesn't hold that it's a mitzvah, notwithstanding the fact that it includes the Mishnah Torah, and the Ramban thinks it is a mitzvah. However, he says that it's a mitzvah l'doros b'chol milchemes reshus. It's only a mitzvah for a milchemes reshus, quote-unquote an optional war. We'll get back to that a little bit later. The Meshech Chachma in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Zayin explains the nature of their debate. So the way he explains it is that the Ramban holds that there's a mitzvah, just like there's a mitzvah to seek for peace, to seek peace like the Yerushalmi before Yeshua waged war against the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael. So too, it's a mitzvah to have pity on them and to leave them aside open. In other words, this mitzvah is based on humanitarian concerns. However, says the Meshech Chachma, that's the Ramban's position. The Rambam's position is that the Rambam is basically giving you military strategy. He said it's ofen me'ofnei ha'milchama. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah is not telling you that's a mitzvah to leave a side open, but he thinks it's good military practice. Why is it good military practice? Because if you leave a side open, then people, the enemy is more likely to flee, to run away. If you don't leave any side open, then they're going to fight to the death. So that's why, according to the Meshech Chachma, the Rambam did not include this halacha in its minyan mitzvahs, because according to the Meshech Chachma, the Rambam does not believe that it's a mitzvah. Ah, but the Rambam mentions the Mishnah Torah. He said that's good military advice. So now we move to the machlokas, the debate between Rav Gorin and Rav Shaul Yisraeli. On August 6th of 1982, then Chief Rabbi of Israel, Rav Shlomo Gorin, published an article in the newspaper called Hatzofeh, in which he argued that according to Jewish law, the siege must allow terrorists to escape the city. Understandably, this caused a bit of a furor, and Rav Shaul Yisraeli wrote a letter in response. What is the argument of Shlomo Gorin? So he printed his article in a set of tshuva entitled Meshiv and Hashem. He has a shel's tshuvas Meshiv Melchama, Chelak Gimel Shar Hey Siman Aleph. He's called Hamatzor al Beirut Lor Halacha when he talks about the siege on Beirut. He cites the pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph Zayin, and he cites the Rambam. He understands, Rav Gordon understands that the Rambam holds it's a mitzvah to leave a side open. And he gives a separate answer as to why the Rambam didn't include it in the Sefer Mitzvah. He said maybe because it's included in another mitzvah. He says that the Rambam holds like Rabbi Nassan in the Sifrei. He holds, he rejects the Meshech Chachma's view. He thinks the Rambam holds the mitzvah. And the reason for the Rambam is probably similar to what the Radvaz said. If you look in the Radvaz's commentary on the Rambam, it says the reason why if you leave the side open is shalom. This is the way of the Torah that all of its paths are peace. In other words, this is a humanitarian reason. He does point out also that there are military reasons also for leaving a side open, that it will weaken the resolve of those who are fighting, and it may encourage people to emigrate, so there will be less of a population to conquer. So these are good reasons, but the Rav Gorin feels that it's a mitzvah to leave a site open. Now, the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch state that the mitzvah only applies to an optional war, Melchemes Rashus, such as the war to conquer new land. But a Melchemes Mitzvah, such as a war against Amalek or the Seven Nations or to defend Jews, does not have a requirement, and a full siege may be placed. So where does the Lebanon War fit into all this? The Lebanon War seems to have been a defensive war, and therefore it's obligatory. So then, it would seem that according to the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch, the siege on Beirut could be complete. You would not need to leave a side open. However, Rav Gorin argues that the Ramban and the Chinuch were only referring to the first two types of the mandatory wars. The war, what he calls the Melchemetz Mitzvah, is only the war against Amalek and the Seven Nations when you're obligated to kill every single person. That's why you cannot allow people to escape a siege, because you have to kill every single person. Why that's so? Why is it moral? Separate question. But the halacha of the halacha where the Ramban says that this doesn't apply to a Melchemes Rashus, what he really means is that in a Melchemes, sorry, doesn't, that this mitzvah doesn't apply to a Melchemes Mitzvah. What he means is in a Melchama war where you have to kill every single person, like Melchemes Amalek, like Melchama against the Seven Nations. For that, you don't leave a side open. However, other battles, like Midjan, that's called the Melchemes Rashus. That's where he learned it from. Meaning there was no mitzvah to kill every single Midianite. And also, any defensive war is also, there's no mitzvah to kill every single person, and therefore, the siege must allow people to escape. And based on this, the siege of Gaza is also part of a defensive war. And if indeed, and indeed, Israel should allow, according to Rav Gorin, he would say, probably, that the Israeli government should allow the enemy to escape. Right now, Egypt does not allow the Gazans to escape, so it's not a question right now. Israel would love, I think, for Hamas to flee and to leave Gaza. In any case, that is Rav Gorin's view. He makes another suggestion also in this tshuva. He suggests also that maybe wars outside the land of Israel automatically gain the status of an optional war. Therefore, the war against Midian was technically an optional war, and if so, the war in Lebanon is also an optional war, and the ruling regarding sieges should still apply. And Gaza may also lie outside the halachic boundaries of the land of Israel, so therefore, you would have to, according to Rav Gordon would probably say, if he was alive today, you would have to leave a side open for the enemy to escape. And again, as a humanitarian law. Rav Shaul Yisraeli wrote a response in a set of tshuvos, and a tshuva called in his Chavot Binyamin. He disagrees. He feels that the Meshech Chachma is correct. And he says that the Rambam does not list this mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvos, while the Ramban does. He explains, according to the Rambam, this rule is a military tactic, i.e. the best way to create a siege is to leave a side open so that the fighters have an escape route and do not need to fight to the end. Therefore, it's part of the laws of making war, not a mitzvah unto itself. And therefore, if you believe from a military standpoint that it's better not to leave a side open, then you should do that. You should not leave a side open. And he also argues, according to the Ramban, it's a humanitarian law. Therefore, according to the Rambam, this rule only applies, as I mentioned, when the tactic is appropriate. But according to the Ramban, it always applies in a melchames rishus. However, Rav Shaul Yisraeli holds that this is a melchames mitzvah. And therefore, there is no obligation to leave a siege. And therefore, Rav Shaul Yisraeli says that you don't need to leave a side open, and therefore he disagreed with Rav Goren's position about leaving side open during the siege. What we see here is that we had a Torah law debated in the Sifrei in the 2nd century, debated in the 12th and 13th century between the Rambam and the Ramban, but it was never practical until modern times, debated in the 20th century as a practical question of how we wage war against our enemies, that the Torah has what to say on everything, even on military battles, even on laying siege. And the Torah, we see, machlokes, but an attempt to balance military needs with humanitarian concerns, even when dealing with the enemy.